It's good. It's good to be with you here this morning, right?
Yes.
I hope you feel that way about me too. Now this morning, I invite you to turn, please, back in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, and I want to talk a little bit about a conversation that Jesus had with a rich man. Next Sunday morning is Palm Sunday. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus, as he prepared to get ready for his death, he took his friends, and I want you to think about this, he took his friends far to the north to a retreat. Where would you go if you were going to take your friends? You know, to sort of look out a different window, to sort of get away from it all for a little bit, just for a little bit of privacy and intimacy, a time of teaching. And he took his friends to the north to a place called Caesarea Philippi. And during that time, he asked them, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist and Elijah, and some say that you're Jeremiah." Well, they were all dead. And then Jesus said, "And you've been with me for 3 years. Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter stepped forward and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. You didn't read about this in the New York Times, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. You didn't hear this on CNN. Nobody texted this to you. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I'm going to say that your name is Peter, and upon this rock, that is upon that profession of your faith, I'm going to build a church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." That's a great place for people to say amen. The gates of hell won't prevail against the profession of Peter's statement that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. And right after that small retreat that he had, he sent his friends out into the villages and cities and towns with this message. He said, "Tell the people that Jesus of Nazareth is coming from Caesarea Philippi, way in the north, all the way to the south into Jerusalem. And that as he came into the cities, the people were going to leave those cities. They were going to leave because it was the Passover and they had to leave anyway. And they were going to leave because people follow strange things, right? You follow crowds wherever they go. I'm going to follow too. How come? Who knows? I'm just going to go along as everybody else is going along too." And so he went from the north into Jerusalem city. And as he came into these cities and villages and towns, the whole cities would empty. They would be filled mostly with Jewish people. So if Jesus of Nazareth came through Kenilworth, imagine all of Kenilworth would just empty and follow him. And a great mass of people were moving south. And that would be what next week is, called the Triumphal Entry. But in your Bibles, if you study about Palm Sunday or the triumphal entry, there wasn't really much triumphal about it because the people were going to cry out in a week, "Crucify him. He says that he's a king and we don't have a king but Caesar." So I want you to know that while he was moving from the north to the south, that there was all different kinds of people that he met. And one of them we want to look at this morning. As he was traveling from the north to the south, the Bible says he was going to meet a beggar named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was blind. And you could look at that and say, look, this isn't hard to see. This guy's blind and he wants to be able to see. And he's crying out. He's crying out, "You know, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they all said, "Oh, would you shut him down? Don't let him say the name Son of David. Not of Jesus of Nazareth. Not of Son of David. That name is reserved for somebody who is God's coming king. Not this Jesus." But he cried out even more so, until when he stood before the Lord Jesus, Jesus said, "Bartimaeus, what can I do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I could see." That's easy, right? That's easy to understand. I want to be able to see. And Jesus healed that blind Bartimaeus, that blind beggar. And the Bible tells us also, the Bible tells us that there was a leper who came to him, right? During that passage from the north to the south, he met all personalities and he met this leper. That's easy to see. This person's infected with this disease that would cause this person to live in the caves, right? I can't live with my family. I can't live with my kids. I can't hold down a job. I've got to live here until I die. It's easy to see. This person needs cleansing from this awful, deadly sickness. Jesus did that. But the Bible says that in Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, he meets this man named Zacchaeus. Now, as I look at Zacchaeus, and as you look at him this morning with me, I want you to know Zacchaeus doesn't look that bad. He doesn't really look that bad. Now, he's short. I'm going to take a look at it. But he doesn't really look that bad. As a matter of fact, he's rich. And if you're rich, that means you're successful in the world's eyes. And if you're rich, it means you've arrived. But like the song that we sang about the well, right? Zacchaeus was in despair. He was empty. He was longing. And Zacchaeus couldn't take it anymore. What does the Bible say about money? It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So you got to be careful with this one. Money can be tricky. It does funny things to people. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. You don't have to be rich to love money. So as we go through this passage this morning, the things that I want you to highlight and know in your mind is that the Lord Jesus meets all of our needs. The needs of blind people, yes indeed. Today, the people who are on empty, who can't find any satisfaction from the world because the world does leave you empty. I want you to also know that when your mind comes unglued, when your mind goes in neutral, you know, when you're rocking the baby to sleep or your grandchildren to sleep, and you're not really thinking about much, are you thinking about money? Money can do funny things to people. Loving money causes you not to depend on God. Now, you can be rich. The Bible doesn't say that's a sin. And you don't have to be rich to love money. So if you struggle a little bit with that, this is going to be a good lesson. I struggle with that. I do. Because I know that money buys things. And if I can buy things, then I don't really need God. Because I can just buy it. Zacchaeus could buy whatever he wanted. And he was a pretty unhappy person until he met Jesus. And I think it's fair to say that those of us who have experienced, have lived long enough, know that money isn't going to bring any happiness. If anything, it can bring a lot of despair and a lot of sorrow. And so in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, the Bible says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He's coming from the north and he's going to the south. He's coming to Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. Just look at that. He was the chief tax collector. The tax collector. Think of that. He was a chief tax collector. Oh, so what does that mean? Well, I want you to know that, you know, you would have these Jewish tax collectors, and they would go, because they were under the authority of Rome, and they would go to various different places, and they would collect the taxes from your business. They would collect the taxes from your shops. They would collect the taxes that were due unto Caesar, right? You're going to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Now this is the tax, and I come to you with the authority of Rome, and you better pay it. And as these tax collectors would collect the money, they would bring the money to the chief tax collector. That was Zacchaeus. Well, how much money is Zacchaeus going to collect? He's going to give it to Rome. Not all of it. Why would he give all of it? He's going to keep a lot of it. Why not? He was the chief tax collector. There was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. Now, when I was growing up in the Sunday schools, I never liked this story. Because I always enjoyed the stories of when Jesus was on the water, and when there was great storms on the water, and they would wake him up and he was sleeping, and they said, "Don't you care that we're going to perish?" And they were fishermen and they were going down with the boat, and he put up his hand and he said, "Peace, be still," and there was a great calm, and they all said, "Who is this?" And even the winds and the waves listened to him and they marveled. I like the stories of the time where Jesus would have the opportunity to see this woman who had this issue of blood, and she said, "All I need to do is touch my the hem of his skirt." Am I allowed to touch an American flag? To touch the hem of his skirt, and she did, and she was going to withdraw into the crowd, and he was going to stop and say, "You touched my clothing." But when it came to this portion, I guess the word gypped is the wrong word for it. But when you're 10, you think, "Oh, this is the story. So what's the power behind it? This guy is small. Okay, so Jesus is going to make him tall." No, right? This guy's short. How does it end? No, it doesn't end like that, right? Well, what is it then? Well, it says that he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. See, Zacchaeus does have a problem here. And the problem isn't that he's short. The problem isn't that he's suffering from unemployment. That's not Zacchaeus' problem. Zacchaeus is not on dialysis. He doesn't have some upper respiratory infection. He's not struggling with some kind of a sickness here. Nobody is going to remove this roof and lower Zacchaeus down before Jesus. There's nothing that's ailing him. Nothing that you can see with your own eyes. So what do you see with your own eyes? He's rich. Man, it would be great to go to Zacchaeus' house. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice to be Zacchaeus, wouldn't it? I mean, just to trade places with Zacchaeus. Wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice to drive what Zacchaeus drives, wouldn't it? I mean, just think of that. His license plate, what would it say, Zacchaeus, you know? Wouldn't that be nice, man? If I was that guy, and I wouldn't have to be on a ladder house painting, all my problems really would be solved. Zacchaeus' problem wasn't that he was short. Zacchaeus had no hope. There was no direction. He was lonely and he lacked intimacy, and he knew that money wasn't going to be the cure here. He knew that that wasn't going to be the thing that was going to satisfy. Now you know that too. But sometimes you have to live that. You have to run, as it were, to the end of the highway. You have to go the whole journey to be able to see, look, this really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't really the way I thought it was going to turn out, and I amassed all of this money. And so what does it do? Well, it buys me a big desk. It does. And it puts, like, letters behind my name. Now, sometimes I get these emails from parents in school, and they have letters behind their names. I don't know what these letters are. And then sometimes I Google the letters to try to find out what exactly is this anyway. And I decided, you know, just as a little game, that I would email back to the parents and, you know, John Charlotte, fifth grade, and behind that, I would put some letters, you know. Just make them up. Maybe a couple numbers and digits too, you know. What do these letters mean? Zacchaeus has all of the letters. He's got the big desk. But he doesn't have the key that's going to unlock the safe that's going to supply the satisfaction, right? I don't have the key that's going to somehow unlock the meaning of it all. My office is three floors above yours. But I don't have direction. I don't know where I'm going. I don't have any purpose, and I really don't get any of it. So money can be a little bit of a trap, and it can be a little bit of an illusion too. It can create an illusion. Now, there was a friend I went to college with. He was a phys ed major, and he wasn't able to get a job as a phys ed teacher. And so through different connections, he was able to find a job in a bank. And because he inherited a lot of his grandmother's money, he drove a very wealthy car. But he parked the car in the A&P parking lot. And because of his grandmother's money, he bought this attaché case that I guess people would drool over. But when you opened it, there was nothing in it. So this guy parked this BMW in the A&P parking lot and walked down with this attaché case that was empty in a suit that was from some fancy clothing store, right? And everybody would say, wow, wow, he's really arrived. So Zacchaeus, he was rich and he was the chief tax collector of the region. He was the chief tax collector. And by the way, the name Zacchaeus means honest. But Zacchaeus was very dishonest. And he was very corrupt because he made money off of the Jewish people and he kept a lot of that money for himself. Until one day he said, look, I'm sick of this. I'm just sick of living like this. There's got to be something more. And so he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming from the north and that he was going to go to the south, heading to Jerusalem city for the very last time. And he thought, this is going to be my chance. This is going to be my chance once in my life to do something, because it's not the letters next to my name or the desk that I have or the money that I have. I don't really understand a lot of my past, and I'm not exactly sure about what tomorrow brings. But I've heard of this Jesus of Nazareth, and I want to have the chance to see him. I just want to see Jesus. Listen, I want you to know in the eye of faith, if you can see the Lord Jesus, then you're going to be able to see a lot less of all of what this world offers, because it really does stink. I hope that's not an offensive word, stink. You know, the Bible uses the word stink. In John chapter 11, it says that when Lazarus was buried, his body stinketh. And then they changed that. His body is offensive, because they thought, well, maybe the word stink is a little too strong. So if you don't like that word, then how about the word offensive, right? There's nothing really in the world that's going to satisfy. And Zacchaeus says, look, for once in my life, I want to do something. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I've heard of this carpenter from Nazareth, and I believe that if I see him, that it's going to be life-changing. I'm not blind. I don't have leprosy. I'm not a beggar. I'm actually a very accomplished rich man. But if you want to know the truth, I'm a pretty miserable person, and I want to see Jesus. Listen, this morning I want you to know I want to see Jesus. That's really all I want to do this week, is see the Lord Jesus. See him in his glory and see the love and care that he has for somebody like me. And see the compassion that we talked about in a meeting earlier. And just see his tenderness and his care and understand that his ways are the best ways for me. They're not what the world is going to suggest. In order to see Jesus, I might have to stand alone. That can be a little bit scary. Zacchaeus is going to get high marks for this in a minute. He really is. But in his heart, he says, look, Jesus is going to come down. He's going to come right down this path. He's coming south to Jerusalem. By the way, he's coming for the last time. When he comes into Jerusalem city, the apostles say, this is great, you know. I mean, you've got this enormous mass of people, and you're going to flood the streets and walk right into Jerusalem city. But he doesn't ride on a horse. He rides on a donkey, and he presents himself as a shepherd king of Israel. The apostles all think, this is the time, you know. The rebellion is going to occur, and we're going to take this place by storm. But he's going to the cross. They don't see that yet. So he comes to Zacchaeus' town. He's coming right through Zacchaeus' town. Zacchaeus wants to see who Jesus was. You know, there's another rich man on the other side of Jericho who came to Jesus, and he came before Jesus. He was rich, and he was young, and he was a ruler. Just put those three things together in your mind for a moment. Just think of what would the world elevate somebody who was rich and who was young and who was a ruler, right? I mean, you would say, look, this is the kind of guy that we want here on our team. This is who we want to hire for our organization. This is the kind of clientele we want our kids playing with. This is the kind of guy. He's rich and he's young and he's a ruler. Let's invite this person here. And when this rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he said to him, he said, what must I do in order to go to heaven or to be saved? Jesus said, you keep the law. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've done all of those things. Really? In your eyes, you've done all of those things? Okay, Jesus said, then I want you to sell all that you have. I want you to give all that you have away. And I want you to follow me. And this rich young ruler went away. And if you know the story, Jesus doesn't run after him and say, oh, wait, listen, sorry, was that a little too harsh? Maybe we can sort of work something out here. It says he loved him, but he let that man go. You kept all of the law? I mean, really? Zacchaeus is beyond all of that. He knows he hasn't kept all of the law. And he knows that there's deficiency. He wants to see who Jesus was. Verse number 4. So he ran ahead. He ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. For he was going to pass that way. Now you got to get the mental picture of this in your mind. This is a rich man. I don't know how old he is, but he is a rich man. He's a private man. I'm going to make that conclusion because wealth does that. Privacy. He wants to see who Jesus is, but he can't because of the crowd. The crowd is noisy. The crowd gets into the way. The crowd is bumper to bumper on the Garden State Parkway, right? That's the crowd. Like we referred to earlier, the crowd doesn't stop those friends from lowering their sick friend in front of Jesus. They find a way to get to Jesus. I want you to know that today the crowd is all around you. And the distractions to see Jesus are enormous. And life is fast and furious. And the crowd, as it were, is going to tell you this week, just keep moving by. Don't get too close. This is too hard. It's going to be too much work. That it's too many distractions. And you're not going to be able to get this. The crowd gets in the way. What is the crowd that gets in your way? What is it? What is it? Is it the extra hours that you've somehow got to put in at your job? Is it this so important, all-inclusive meeting that you have to be to? Is it this workout routine or this diet? Is it these, all of these things? What are all of these things? What is this big distraction? Now, I'm not against workout routines and diets, right? I tried the Jillian Michaels Biggest Shredder. I've tried that. I'm not against that. But you understand what I'm trying to say here, right? What's the big distraction that keeps you from seeing Jesus? I want you to know that at the end, the crowd that laid down those palm branches and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That same crowd was going to cry out, "Crucify him and release unto us Barabbas." That's what the crowd does at the end. And as far as my crowd is concerned, now all of the demands that are going to keep me from Jesus, all the distractions that get in the way, that say it's too hard, don't get too close, you don't have time for this. Zacchaeus is going to take a chance here, and he gets high marks for this. He's a rich man, and he's going to run ahead of the crowd because he says, "I might not ever get a chance to do this again." So he runs ahead and he climbs up into a sycamore tree. Can you imagine this? He's short. He says, "I want to see the Lord Jesus. And I don't care who's going to see me." That's pretty powerful. I don't care who's going to see me. I don't care that you're going to nudge your buddy and say, "Hey, isn't that the chief tax collector, the guy who drives, the guy who lives, the guy who owns? Isn't that him? He's in a tree." I don't care what they're going to say. I want to see Jesus. That's hard, right? Because we do care what they say. Listen, who would you climb a tree for? I mean, it's a fair question. Who would I climb a tree to see? Would I climb a tree so that I could see Derek Jeter? The president, would I do that? I don't know. I don't think so. I guess you wouldn't be able to answer that until you're in the moment. But Zacchaeus comes to a point in his life where he says, "I don't care who sees me. And I'm not going to let the crowd get in my way. And I don't care if this looks stupid. I'm going to run ahead. This is my plan. It's the best I can do. I'm going to run ahead and I'm going to climb a tree. I'm going to see the Lord Jesus, even if it means I'm going to climb a tree. Even if it means I'm going to climb a tree. I'm going to stand. I'm going to be counted. People are going to think that's strange." Yeah. And if you stand and you're counted for the Lord Jesus today, people are going to think that's strange. That's really strange. You go to church on Sunday. Really? You read the Bible. Really? You pray. You sing. That's really strange. Is that strange? So what happens? He climbs this tree, verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" And when he came to the place, the Lord Jesus is walking down this street. There is an enormous crowd that is all encompassed around him. He is heading to Jerusalem city to die, to offer himself as a sacrifice. He knows all about Zacchaeus. He knows all about the corruption, all about the past. He knows all about this man. And he comes to this place, he stops. And he calls him by his name. Jesus of Nazareth didn't meet Zacchaeus before, not that we know of. He calls him by his name, Zacchaeus. What must that have been like for Zacchaeus? He knows my name. He knows my name. The Savior of the world, he knows your name. He knows your name. He knows my name. He stopped. He doesn't say, "Hey, you." He calls Zacchaeus by name. In John chapter 10, the Bible says, Jesus said, "I know my sheep. I know my sheep. I call them by name." By name. You know, one day you're going to see the Lord Jesus. I'm not exactly sure how that scene is going to look. I know some contemporary Christian music would play it out that you're going to, I don't know, hug. And when the Apostle John, he saw the Lord Jesus, he fell down before him as one was dead. And the Apostle John knew the Lord Jesus. When he saw the Lord Jesus in his resurrected glory, he fell down before him as one who was dead. And Jesus said to the Apostle John, "Arise." He said that in Revelation chapter 1. He calls him by name. The Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek out and to save those who are lost. When somebody is lost, a child in your family, and somebody that you're looking for, you call out their name, right? You call out their name. Jesus called Zacchaeus by his name. That might not mean much. You might think that point to be very simple, but it's a beautiful one. He says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste. Come on down. Come down quickly. Come down now. And verse number 6 says, "So he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully." If the Lord Jesus is calling your name, make haste. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, that we live in the acceptable year of the Lord. It's not saying, "Well, one day, you know, maybe one day. I guess I think about it one day." It's today. If the Spirit of God is calling you, make haste. So he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. Joyfully. "I'm so glad, Lord Jesus, you called my name. I'm so glad that you can come to my house. I'm so glad that I came and I climbed this tree. I'm so glad." Verse 7, "But when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, 'He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner.'" Yeah, that's what they're going to say. "You got a pretty bad past. You've cheated a lot of people. You're a pretty rotten person. And Jesus of Nazareth is going to go, and he's going to go to your house. That's where he's going to go." Sure, he's going to go to Zacchaeus' house. He wouldn't go to Zacchaeus' house, right? "He's going to go to the rich man's house as a guest." Now look at the heart of Zacchaeus in verse 8. And see the change that takes place in his life. "Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord," he said to the Lord, Look, Lord. That's the first thing I want you to know. He says, look, Lord. Zacchaeus is talking to a carpenter. No, he's not. He's talking to the Lord of glory. He sees and he knows that the Lord of glory is in his house. That's a wonderful thing. The Lord of glory is invited into your house. Is he invited in your house? Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And I have taken, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. You see the repentance in this man's heart? Look, Lord, if I have taken anything from anyone, I can't even remember the records. I'll repay it, I'll do it four times. I'm just glad that you're here. And I just want you to know that I'm a changed person. Because I ran out ahead of this crowd and I saw you. And verse number 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, this story, this is not that far from you and me. It's not. It's not just a child's story of some rich kid, some rich guy who climbed up a tree. It's a successful man who is lacking intimacy and satisfaction and purpose and is hopeless until he meets the Lord Jesus. I can relate to that. And as far as his money is concerned, he's not going to amass it anymore. He's going to use it for God's coming kingdom and for God's purposes. So I hope this morning you could just think a little bit this week. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. You don't have to be rich to love money. When you have leisure time or downtime, does your mind just think about money? And what it would mean if you had more of it? Or do you think of money as a tool? Jesus one time, he said, make friends with your unrighteous money. And the second thought is, if you say, well, look, I don't have these medical issues of all these characters that Jesus met when he moved from north to south. But there's despair in my life. What's the crowd that keeps you from seeing Jesus? Because if you do see Jesus, this week is going to have real purpose for you. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll make sense. Don't let the crowd or the distraction keep you. The world might laugh, but seeing Jesus and walking with the Lord Jesus is a very beautiful and precious thing. Let it be the goal for this week. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for Zacchaeus. We thank you that he took a risk. He did a strange thing. And we thank you that your son stopped. He stopped. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your son includes us. He calls us by name. He stops to include us. We pray that the distractions of the crowd this week wouldn't keep us from seeing him and living for him. We pray these things in his name. Amen.